Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you with us. And if you've been listening already, well, we consider you a very intelligent, highly, highly discerning individual. And we appreciate you very much. I'm excited about having our good buddy Jonathan Zook back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Jonathan's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, president of the Association for Competitive Technologies, and most of the time, he spends his life working on really high-level stuff that helps you and me. That by the time it trickles down to the marketplaces, it involves things that are good for you and me with regard to technology. He's in the capitals of the world, talking to the big shots all over the planet on some counseling them really, and also testifying on things that they need to be thinking about to make sure that the marketplace, the technology marketplace especially, remains open and free and unencumbered by government regulations. And he does a great job of that. But occasionally, he decides to go and schlep around with the product folks. And he did that last week when he went to Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show, the CES show. And at least once a year, he's with us more often than this, but at least once a year, he joins us after the CES and to tell us about some of the cool stuff that he found out there. Jonathan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here.
It's good to have you back. How was CES?
It was great. You know, it's Las Vegas. So, you know, any excuse to go to Las Vegas is a good excuse.
How long were you there?
Yeah, you know, there's always a new blackjack system to try out.
That's right. How many days were you in Vegas?
4 days, I guess. Something.
Yeah, that's a long time in Vegas for me.
Yeah, you got to be very careful.
36 hours is like a perfect time for me in Vegas. But,
that'll run you through your allowance?
That's right. That'll get me through my $250 real quick. That's $250, by the way, folks. Okay, Jonathan, what cool gadgets did you find out there?
Well, you know, the theme of CES this year was your television isn't big enough, I think. So you might have thought that you had a big enough television, but if you went to CES, you realize that you didn't.
So if you've got a 50-inch plasma TV, they would blow that right out of the water, right?
Yeah, Sharp just introduced a 108-inch LCD panel television.
Wow.
So it's really about the size of a pool table.
Wow.
If you hang on your wall, you have to imagine you probably have to build a new addition to the house to make
right.
sure that wall could bear that weight. Otherwise, it would cave in. I don't know. I don't know how much is enough necessarily.
So what you're saying is you'd have to put buttresses on the outside, right?
Yes, exactly. Flying buttresses like the like Notre Dame has or something, right? And I think eventually, as we build new homes, the key will simply be to build one wall of your home as a flat panel television.
Oh yeah. Just build it in, frame it up.
Know if you saw the movie Total Recall, but that's where they were, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But
what are the prices of these things?
Oh, they're expensive.
Yeah.
you're spending more than you are on the average television, certainly at this point.
What about?
You know, there used to be to get a 50-inch flat panel. Excuse me, I caught something while I was there too, but. It would cost, $7,000, and now those things are
right.
You can get between two and three. So.
Right, exactly. Well, let me ask you a question. In your educated opinion, what's better, LCD or plasma?
Well, that's an open debate. I don't know that it's very well resolved. LCDs tend to have a wider viewing angle.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a lot of people and they can't all be in front of the television.
Right.
Plasmas are thought to, you know, hold their picture longer, last longer.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the problems with the DLPs, that with all the little mirrors, is they don't have a wide viewing angle, as I remember. Is that right?
I guess that's right. You see DLP in a technology in a lot of different places. I actually have a DLP projector.
Yeah.
I don't know. With a projector, it's less, this viewing angle issue is less of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you do have these projection televisions, which I don't know why anybody would buy at this point. I mean, why would you...
It doesn't make any sense today to be...
Cube into your house, right?
Right, to buy a projection television for most people, I think. Jonathan, hold that thought. When we come back, folks, we're going to delve into some of the other cool technologies that Jonathan found at CES that maybe some... Hopefully he'll have some things that we can use in our small businesses. And we're going to talk a little bit about public policy, some international public policy that Jonathan's been working on that will impact you and me, ladies and gentlemen, in our small businesses. 20 till, here's Al Green to take us out. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Jonathan Zook, the president of the Association for Competitive Technology. That's actonline.org, right, Jonathan?
That's right.
Actonline.org. Tell us about ACT.
ACT is the Association for Competitive Technology, and we are an IT industry trade association that represents... small and medium-sized businesses in Washington and other capitals around the world on issues of public policy.
Mm-hmm. And even though, folks, as I said earlier, even though he is maybe in, you know, across the pond talking about things, these are all things that influence you and me ultimately in the marketplace with our small businesses, because you represent the companies that are trying to provide small business owners with the technological power that makes us so competitive today and will make us competitive in the future. And the more governments try to restrict those companies from creating what they've developed, the less it's available to us unencumbered. Right, Jonathan?
That's exactly right. I mean, one of the big themes at CES, actually, was integration, right? The combination of technologies to make them more convenient, more accessible, mm-hmm. And more transferable, et cetera. And that ends up being, you know, a focus of a lot of government intervention.
Right.
You know,
they call it bundling.
You put too many features into this software, for example.
Right. Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if government regulators accuse Apple of trying to get into the mobile phone market by leveraging their iPod, mm-hmm. you know, dominance, right?
Do you expect someone to sue them over that?
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, they have what could be considered monopoly market share in the portable music player market.
Right.
And if they
the way Microsoft did with browsers,
into the phone market.
The way Microsoft did with browsers, and they started bundling things, and Netscape and others took them to court.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of integration, what did you see out there? What were some integrated innovations that you saw that we will see down the road?
Well, a lot of what's happened, I mean, it's kind of ironic because it wasn't that long ago we were trying to figure out when there would be a PC in every home, right?
Right.
and now it's like 8 or 9 PCs
right.
that are in every
right.
home.
Counting the ones in our pockets.
Well, the ones in your pockets, your TiVo, I mean, there's sorts of all sorts of variations, and you have content of various forms on all of these things. It's recorded television shows, you've got your photos, videos that you've captured off of your camcorder, different, you know, family photos, et cetera, and they're all in different places, right? And so now one of the interesting sort of technological challenges is trying to figure out how you don't have to store everything every place but still get to it from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you access the photos on one computer from your handheld and share, you know, your recorded television and watch it from your Xbox and things
right.
like that, because you've got all these different computers in your house, and how can you blend their functionality, if you will?
Well, see, I have two DVRs in my house, but they don't communicate with each other.
Right, and that's
I wish they did.
That's the kind of stuff that's coming, exactly.
Well, see, you know the thing, Jonathan. I counted them up one day, and between the time that I leave my home and I get to my office, and by the time I'm doing my show, I have used about 12 different technologies to get out of my house, to get to my building, to get to get everything working. About 12 different technologies. No, actually more than that, counting the telecommunication. And that doesn't include the refrigerator that I got my juice out of.
Right. Well, and you know, your refrigerator has technological advances coming as well, so that it knows when it's running out of different kinds of foods and can monitor to make sure that you're staying on the zone diet and, you know, whatever.
Oh, you mean they're going to make meddling refrigerators? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, of course. As well as making the refrigerator another venue for, you know, getting to the web, you know, for recipes and things like
right.
that. So, you know, there'll be a point where you'll be able to just have your refrigerator tell you what recipes you have the ingredients for example.
So everything will have a barcode, right?
Yeah, barcode or a little more sophisticated, something called an RFID, which is a little broadcaster so it's kind of... I mean, a barcode requires a lot more proximity. You
know? Right. But the RFID, the little computer chip inside, which is part of the nanotechnology, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. It's related.
So like the commercial, the IBM commercial, maybe there'll be a commercial where somebody said, why are you going to the store? And he says, I have to pick something up. Well, how did you know that? Well, my refrigerator told me.
My refrigerator phoned me.
My refrigerator. Who was that? Who was that?
Milk machines that call their distributors to let them know that they're, up on the phone. They call them on the phone.
So you get a call and
I'm out of Sprite.
You get a call and somebody says, "Who was that? That's my refrigerator."
Yeah, exactly. They say, "Don't make fun of your wife." You know, I'm not. You know. So there's a lot of those kinds of technologies.
And do you see some of those out there at CES?
Yeah, some of those kinds of things are out there. Concept cars, you know, that integrate to more computerized functionality.
Yeah.
One of the cool products that has come out from Microsoft, actually, is a home-based server, which I think will be particularly helpful to small businesses.
Hold on to that thought. I want to hear more about that when we come back. We're going to talk with some more with our good friend Jonathan Zook. I told you he'd have some exciting and some fun things to talk about when he gets back from CES. He always does every year. He and I will be right back. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Yeah. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out and use it to your advantage. And also, I encourage you to go to Jonathan Zook's website, which is actonline.org, and he's the president of the Association for Competitive Technologies. And I really encourage you, folks, especially if you are the developer of technology, which there are literally I don't know how many hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of small business owners out there who are, but if you consume technology, if you use technology, which we all do, you need to know what the folks at ACT are doing, because they are standing up for you and for me to make sure that we have access to the stuff that's unencumbered. And Jonathan, on behalf of all you do to get us all this technology, to help us make sure that governments stay out of the way of the technological marketplace, we appreciate that.
Oh, thanks for saying that. I guess the other angle is the e-commerce companies as well. You know,
yeah, oh, yeah. Yep.
Trying to sell online and because there's often a number of state regulations and things that make it difficult for you to sell things online.
A lot of that. And they not only work around the country, and they also work around the world, they also work in the state houses, because I have helped them with those things before. I've seen them in action. So I encourage you to check out their website and support them whenever you can, actonline.org. Okay, when we went to the break, Jonathan, you were talking to us about a home server, which you said would help small business owners. Now, connect the dots for us.
Well, I mean, server technology on the whole has been fairly complex, and yet as we increase the number of PCs, either in our home or probably more frequently in our small business, the value of having some centralized storage, automated backup, and things like that becomes higher and higher. And Microsoft has recently come out with a kind of simplified server operating system. HP is the first vendor to implement a server that you could buy. It's about the size of a toaster, and you plug it into your network, and it just starts working. There's very little administration, and if you want to increase the capacity, you can just add a hard drive, and it just gets bigger. You don't have to deal with things like volumes. It used to be that you had to you'd add a hard drive, and you'd have to initialize it, and then it'd become another drive letter and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
This just shows up. It's almost like a great big fat USB key, right?
Mm-hmm.
But instead of 1 gigabyte, it's got 400 gigabytes, and or 12 terabytes or whatever it is that you need. And,
right.
It's got very simplified administration capabilities and simplified automated backup procedures and things like that. So you literally plug this into your network, and you have an 80% solution, if you will. Of a normal server.
Web server
capability and things like that.
And you can work wirelessly with it?
Do you have
to plug into a network?
You would plug this into, I don't know if they had wireless cards, but maybe, probably, but the idea is you would just plug this directly into the router, right, to give the
thing access
to it. But, many people, especially small businesses, they buy a type of internet service that actually gets them an IP address.
Mm-hmm.
You can very often with your DSL service or your cable service, you can get an IP address. And if you have that, then you can reach the server remotely. So, like, it would allow you from a customer site to go back and log into your server easily and get at documents that have been backed up there.
So it allow you to actually go over geography to get to your server or your desktop back at the office.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Hmm.
So I mean, it's all in many ways, it's all technology that's been around, but it's now been made much more accessible, right? It's that age-old 80-20 rule of getting you 80% of the functionality for 20% of the work.
And, access to information.
It really looks good, yeah.
Isn't that the key to digital? The digital age is access to information.
Knowledge at your fingertips, exactly.
Yeah, access to information. And the key for technology, I think, for the future, the new stuff, it's gotta just work, doesn't it, Jonathan? We don't need
right.
to have instruction.
Exactly.
We don't need to have to go to school for it. It needs to just work.
You want to just be able to plug it in and have it work, and that's something that Apple's been ahead of Microsoft on for many years, and they've done that by really just controlling what you can plug into your computer, and by controlling that, then they always can accommodate. Because they have great intimacy with all the technology that's in your Mac.
Right.
Whereas
right.
Windows is a kind of a more open platform where anybody can talk.
That's an interesting term there. Open in Windows. That's pretty interesting way to. we'll have to discuss that another time. Hey, Jonathan, thank you for being here. Good job today. We'll see
Bye.
You next time. Jonathan Zook, ladies and gentlemen, with Association for Competitive Technologies. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, reminding you to never seek perfection, only excellence.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.